NFL draft is starting tonight. 3 days of American football extravaganza. The NBA playoffs are well underway as well, and that's why we're avoiding all of the American sports here on the 20-minute hit and focusing on the beautiful game today after a manic 7 days of footballing news. I'm Ollie Wilson, bringing you the best sports debate that you can find in just 20 minutes. As always, joining me on the show, Mr. Paul McDonald, the brains behind the 20-minute hit. Paul, pleasure to chat to you once again. We missed last week, of course, but delighted to be joined by you as always, and a tasty week of sports news, particularly in the beautiful game.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if ex-Man City defender Stefan Savage can keep a clean sheet for Atletico, then maybe I've still got a chance of making it, mate.
Yeah, don't cling on to that too long. I won't remind you of the Manchester City stuff as well. We'll dive into all of that later on. Joining us on the show today, a man who needs no real introduction. He's the host of the Football League show on TalkSport, matchday live reporter and commentator for Leicester City as well. It's been a pretty good year for this guy, really. Mr. Jeff Peters joining us on the show today. Jeff, pleasure to chat to you, mate. How are you doing?
Hello, guys. Yes, it's been quite a year, to be honest with you, as a Leicester City fan, thinking that this time last year we were going to get relegated to the Championship, which obviously is a league which I know a great deal about through my work. But yeah, Leicester City wise, it's dreamland really. And as for the Football League, still so much to be decided in the last couple of games of the season. It's fantastic.
Pleasure to be joined by you, Jeff. And that's where I think we're going to start off today. The Football League, the Championship season coming to a head. Middlesbrough taking on Birmingham on Friday night, and with Middlesbrough, Brighton, and of course Burnley all on an equal number of points in those top three positions, only two automatic spots, of course. It's a thriller going down to the wire this season. It's been quite incredible. All three sides have had slips and blips, and with two games to go, it's all or nothing, particularly with Brighton and Middlesbrough playing each other on the last day of the season. It couldn't be more exciting, could it, Jeff?
That's the key one. That, I think, will be the straight shootout as to who goes up with Burnley. I really fancy Burnley. You look at their last two fixtures of the season, and you'd fancy Burnley at home to QPR, and you'd fancy them away at Charlton on the last day of the season. As for the other sides, Middlesbrough, as you mentioned, go to Birmingham on Friday night, and then Brighton. Tricky one for them, a home against Derby, because Derby have been in good form of late. They've been clocking up some wins. They had that poor run, which saw Paul Clement lose his job. Darren Wassell came in. They seem to have clicked in recent weeks. And Middlesbrough, well, it looked like Aitor Karanka was going to leave at one point, didn't it? But again, they've turned it around. They've been clocking up a number of wins. And when you look at the top of the table, 87 points for the three clubs with two games to go. And the goal difference couldn't be much tighter. Burnley plus 33, Middlesbrough plus 32, and Brighton plus 30. Brighton have been scoring some goals of late, so they've really improved their goal difference. They scored 5 against Fulham. They got 4 against Queen's Park Rangers, 3 against Charlton. They're certainly in good form as well. But for me, it's Burnley plus whoever wins that final game of the season. That's how I think it's going to shape up.
Paul, which do you think is more impressive of these three sides, in that Burnley have just been grinding results out? They got that 1-0 win, of course, against Preston recently that wasn't pretty but got the job done. As Jeff mentioned, we had Aitor Karanka and that massive disturbance really with the manager not turning up to training. There was talks that he was going to be leaving, and Borough have recovered from that. And Brighton had their blip despite going unbeaten for so long this season. Over Christmas and just into January, they were really struggling, and they've bounced back. Of these three sides, who's been the more impressive, do you think, over this season?
I just think that Chris Hughton at Brighton is a hugely underrated coach. I think that he's been treated rather shabbily at places in the past, particularly his treatment at Newcastle after the convincing way he took them back into the Premier League. I just think the work that he's done there has been fantastic, given the fact that Burnley have parachute payments and spent $9 million on Andre Gray. You look at the money that Burr have spent with Jordan Rhodes and Downing and Nugent and in the summer as well. I just think that the squad that Hughton inherited and the players that he's added to it, I think they're punching way above their weight. And I really think, looking at the table, I'd love to see Chris Hughton get that team back up and back to the Premier League, because when you get to this stage of the season, it's 87 points apiece for the top three. It's unfortunate when a Championship season does this, when one of these teams is going to have to lift themselves for the lottery of a playoff campaign. I just think that given the way that Hughton deals with the problems and the diplomacy that the man has, I'd love to see a bit of success for him.
And that those playoff spots are pretty much secure, aside from Sheffield Wednesday and Cardiff, who meet before the end of the season as well, coming up, I believe, this weekend, in fact. But those are four big sides when whoever drops out of that top three, along with Derby, who've had their moments this season, Sheffield Wednesday have been great going forward this year, and Hull as well, who were expected to be in this title race at one point this season. It's a really high quality group of six, seven teams now in the Championship in these spots for potentially going up this year.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, I expected Hull to be up there. I think if you look at the well, certainly Burnley, Middlesbrough, Hull and Derby, you would have expected those four to probably take the top four spaces. But Middlesbrough and Derby were my tips at the start of the season, given certainly the investment. I mean, Derby spent £20 million in the summer, another £5 million in the January window. Brighton have been an unexpected package because they didn't have a great year last year. So they, to see them where they are, great, great job that Chris Hughton has done. Almost flown under the radar a little bit. But they invested well in January. Derby should be really challenging for the top two. But Hull and Derby have confirmed their playoff spots. And now we've got a straight shootout. We talk about the top three being separated by goal difference. We've got a straight shootout for sixth place, which Sheffield Wednesday have got the advantage, 4 points clear of Cardiff. And Sheffield Wednesday play Cardiff this weekend. It is must win for the Bluebirds. If they fail to win the game because of the goal difference, that pretty much gives the, you know, that will give sixth place to Sheffield Wednesday. But if Cardiff win that, then it goes down to the final weekend of the season. Sheffield Wednesday are at Wolves, and Cardiff will be at home to Birmingham. Cardiff's home form has been good this season. I think they've only lost twice on home soil, but their away form has been a bit of a problem. So Cardiff have got to win at Sheffield Wednesday this weekend. So again, it's exciting, and that's what we want in the Football League.
And it's almost, were it not for Leicester City's title run this season, we should really be talking about the Championship more and more. But Leicester are in the top spot in the Premier League. This incredible Cinderella story continues, and Tottenham slip against West Bromwich Albion all but hands them the title. Everybody is now giving it to the side from the East Midlands. Jeff, what's it been like being around this club over the last season?
Well, I've likened it to, I almost feel like I'm in the Truman Show, and that Leicester got relegated last season. They're mid-table of the Championship, and I think that Leicester are top of the table and could go on and win the league. And there's actually a film crew going around just watching me and taking the mickey out of me, because Leicester wouldn't be top of the table. It kind of feels like that. It doesn't feel real, because you look at the beginning of April last year, 7 points from safety at the bottom of the table, the greatest of great escapes to stay up, Nigel Pearson sacked, Claudio Ranieri coming in, and people saying, well, this is going to be a disaster. And the national press doing their previews at the start of the season, well, Leicester will get relegated, Leicester will finish bottom. And suddenly, with three games to go, they just need a win to clinch the title. They might not, they could probably even lose the last three games if Spurs slip up, maybe against Chelsea on Monday. And it's, the city is absolutely buzzing. Nobody can quite get their head around the fact that this football club, which has been going for 130 years or so, might actually win the top flight of English football for the first time. It is an incredible story. But they've been really good this year. They've got an unbelievable team spirit. But you don't just win something and are successful with team spirit. You need some quality. People have talked about Jamie Vardy breaking the record, scoring all those goals. Riyad Mahrez with his goals and his tricks and his flicks and his assists. But for me, the key player has been N'Golo Kanté, who they signed for £5.5 million in the summer. He is kind of the heartbeat of the side, which allows the others to go about and do their business. They're a band of brothers. A lot of these players were released by other clubs, the likes of Huth. Stoke didn't want him. Danny Simpson wasn't really pulling up any trees at Queen's Park Rangers. Markle Brighton was let go by Aston Villa on a free transfer. And when you look at all that, and you've got to add into the fact that they've also brought in a left-back in Christian Fuchs on a free transfer, who is the Austrian captain, and Wes Morgan stepping up to the plate, Kasper Schmeichel in goal. That back five, at the start of the season, they were conceding a lot of goals. They changed the fullbacks. Simpson came in for Delatt, Fuchs for Schlupp at left back, and suddenly they looked a lot stronger at the back. And people were saying, well, they won't win the league because they concede too many goals. And it's Leicester. It won't happen. But it just, it's an unbelievable story, which I know has been talked a lot about in the press as being a fairy tale and this, that, and the other. Can they just get over the line? I've got my fingers crossed. I think that they will, because they've only lost three games all season. They don't look like they're slipping away. They won 4-0 against a bang average Swansea last weekend. They've got to go to Man United this Sunday where they can win the league. Then they've got Everton at home. Everton's away form is quite good, but I think a lot of the fans would like to see the manager depart, so they perhaps wouldn't object to Leicester winning that. And then they're at Chelsea, last game of the season. You would hope, certainly from a Leicester point of view, that Chelsea will be on the beach by that point. It's it's hard to get my head around it all, but I'm the happiest football fan on the planet right now.
It's peculiar. I found some old commentary notes from about 2 years ago, and I found a copy of Critil against Cannes on a Friday night in Ligue 2 in the heart of the Cannes midfield, N'Golo Kanté. I was like, oh, right, yeah, I did see him before he became a Premier League star. Fantastic. Paul, though, it was... Wednesday night, was it just a case... Sorry, Monday night, was just a case of Tottenham being Tottenham. We've all waited for this Tottenham side to have a blip, to have a stumble. It hasn't come yet. They have been arguably the best side to watch in the Premier League this year. But they couldn't close a deal at the end of the day against West Bromwich Albion.
I think, to be honest, I think the Spurs players, after they watched Leicester's demolition of Swansea, they came to the realisation that this perhaps wasn't going to happen for them. Because you just can't see Leicester dropping the requisite points even before Monday night to hand Spurs the title. Listen, if I'm a Spurs fan, my biggest concern, whilst taking into account Spurs being eminently Spurs on a regular basis, is that everybody says, oh, Spurs are going to bounce back bigger and stronger next season. Well, yeah, it's easier said than done to do that in consecutive campaigns. And whilst I think that young Spurs team have got every potential to stay together and become a good team over 2, 3, 4 years, there will be people looking at perhaps the coach. Obviously, there's been links between Man United and Pochettino. There may be big bids coming in for guys like Kane and Ali. They may not necessarily want to leave, but these are guys that will be on the radar, particularly after Euro 2016 for some of Europe's biggest clubs. So it's easier said than done to go on that run of consistency in consecutive seasons, especially if you're a club like Spurs. So I think the automatic assumption of some people that Spurs will be there or thereabouts next season, I'd be a bit more concerned about that if I was a Spurs fan. I just want to get through the summer first, keep the squad intact, make some useful additions, and then see how we're fixed in August and September before we can actually say that Spurs are going to be challenging next season. Because you'd expect a lot of the big teams to come back. Liverpool looked pretty good over the last month or so. Chelsea have been a disaster this season, but they surely can't be that bad again next year. You'd fancy Arsenal to go and maybe spend a bit of money this summer, although we say that every year. And obviously Man United, if they bring in Mourinho or someone else, they'd be looking to strengthen it and go for a better run into next season. So there's a lot of congestion at the top of that table. And that's without me even mentioning Leicester being there next year, potentially with Champions League cash. And they go away and they could have the potential to go and spend £25, £30 million on a striker as well. So, yeah, I think the assumption for Spurs fans that they're going to be in the mix next season is the one that I'd be most concerned about.
I'll put this one out to both of you. Do Tottenham have to be more worried about losing their assets than Leicester do? Because Leicester's still considered this kind of fairy tale and anomaly, whereas Tottenham are seen as a side with more perhaps genuine young talent that can be groomed elsewhere by other clubs and picked off. Do Spurs fans have to be more worried than Leicester fans about losing their key players in the summer?
Well, there's been, certainly from Leicester's point of view, that there's been talk in the press that Mahrez will go for maybe 40 or 50 million and Conte will go for 30 odd million. Leicester have owners with very deep pockets, so they don't need to sell players. They're not a selling club. They don't need to sell the players. Yes, they can make a hell of a lot of money. I mean, Riyad Mahrez, $350,000 a couple of years ago, so that they will make a hell of a lot of money on him. They will also make a hell of a lot of money on Conte. But I'm not sure that either of these players will go unless they say to Leicester, I definitely want to leave this football club. I want to play for Barcelona. Then you could probably say, well, we're not going to stand in your way, but we're going to get a ridiculous amount of money. Leicester signed Damari Gray, who was not in Riyad Mahrez's league, but certainly in his cameo appearances, he has looked very, very impressive. And I think some of these players will go. You know, we've got, if they're happy where they are, then I think that counts for a lot. Playing in the Champions League next season, Leicester in the Champions League next season. Again, I can't get my head around that. They've got these pre-season international Champions Club. Champions Cup games against PSG in LA and Barcelona. So it's not going to be easy to hold on to them, but I think that they will.
Gents, let's move away and let's talk about the Champions League from this week. Paul, I want to start with you because a man who gave Manchester City no chance against PSG, now Manchester City have given themselves a real chance of grabbing something in the Bernabeu with a 0-0 draw at the Etihad earlier this week. Paul, are we going to have an Atleti Madrid against Manchester City Champions League final here?
Do you just keep that note at the top of your notepad for every week just to remind me of that,
Ollie? There's been two or three people who I've spoken to, not just yourself, who all said at the start of that PSG tie, there is no chance, no chance for City. And I went, I'd still give them a chance. I'd give them a chance. And
the bizarre thing with City, I think, is they've actually rediscovered the ability to defend. I think that Otamendi and Mangala and obviously company played the other night. They actually look like competent defenders again. And when I actually made that statement about PSG, City were an absolute disaster defensively. In fact, probably going from around about October to February, at that period of 5 months, they were atrocious across the back line. I think one of the other things that's helped is, particularly the other night, is playing Fernando and Fernandinho as the screen in front of the back four, rather than trying to shoehorn Yaya Toure into that position. I've been clamouring for that for a long time. And I think now that they've actually did it, they look much more compact and much more secure. And listen, I don't think anybody's going to want to re-watch the game from Tuesday night. It wasn't exactly a classic. But given the fact that Ronaldo's injured and there's news coming out of Spain this morning that he has a muscle tear and is probably highly unlikely to play the second leg, they've got themselves in a pretty good position with Aguero and De Bruyne and to a lesser extent Navas on the counter-attack. Teams have went to Real Madrid this season and created loads of chances. I mean, Roma in the last 16 second leg missed four clear chances. Was it Dzeko and Salah? Two in either half. Glaring opportunities that were missed that could have changed the outcome of that match. And obviously, Wolfsburg proved in the last round that Real Madrid can be susceptible defensively anytime. So, yeah, why not? When you're Man City and you have players of the quality of Aguero and De Bruyne in attack, you can challenge anyone. And who's to say that this team can't go one further?
And I suppose as well for Madrid, three-way title race in La Liga at the moment, which they've still got a name in the hat in. Manchester City, on the other hand, no title race to worry about. Pretty much guaranteed the Champions League football for next season through the league anyway. This is their only focus. They can go all out on this one, Jeff.
Yeah, I think it was a good result for them not to concede an away goal at home. I think they can go to Real Madrid with plenty of confidence. They can go there with freedom. It's a one-game shootout, really, now, isn't it, to get to the final. They will back themselves to score. Real Madrid are obviously a good side at home, but they are beatable. So, like you said earlier, people didn't give them much of a chance against PSG. They've not given them much of a chance against Real Madrid, but they've got into a situation now where they can go there and they can just give it a real go. And I think it's exciting times for Man City fans, notwithstanding how disappointing their domestic form has been.
And very briefly, gentlemen, with the 1-0 lead going into the second leg, going off to Germany next week, Atletico Madrid, best side in Europe at this point in the way they can defend and still hit on the counter-attack and break down very good sides?
Yeah, as I alluded to at the top of the show, Ollie, the fact that Godin wasn't playing and they can drop Savage into that defence, and it's not only him. There seems to be a sense of collective around Atletico Madrid where if you take out any element of the team, there's another guy just waiting to slot into the place who knows the system and knows Simeone's approach to the letter. And that's a real statement in the modern game, to have a group of 18, 19, 20 players that are all so invested in the system that many of the positions are interchangeable. I thought ahead of the game last night that Godin might be one of those guys who's such an organiser and such a leader that they might suffer his loss, but it proved not to be the case. And I mean, Diego Simeone, best coach in Europe at the moment? I think so.
I think there's very much to, though, his success comes with the affinity he has with the fans, with the club, and the fact that it's not a distant chairman. That setup at Atletico Madrid, is ideal for somebody like Diego Simeone. He's basically a watered-down Di Canio that I don't think would work in too many other places. I wouldn't like to see him come to the Premier League just yet, let's put it that way. Gents, let's finish this show off then with a little bit of Scottish football. I mentioned to Paul a couple of weeks ago now about, of course, the arrival again of Celtic against Rangers, the Old Firm derby in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Rangers 5-4 victors on penalties against Celtic in a 2-2 draw, an absolute thriller at Hampden Park. But Paul, when I just mentioned it to you, you said you didn't really enjoy the fact that this game was back. It's a bit of an edge to the voice. I just want to know, is this a positive, do you think, having this game back once again in Scottish football consistently next season in the Scottish Premier League? And if there are any doubts, what are those doubts and why, really?
My tentative nature of discussing it all, it was more to do with the fact that I moved out of Scotland to pursue journalism for a reason, and I've very little interest in getting involved in the Celtic Rangers debate, particularly the one involving whether Rangers are a new club or not, and that associated nonsense. But if you want to drill it down to the actual match, I thought it was a thoroughly enjoyable contest. I think that it was ruling and invigorating to see these teams go at it again, and with much more quality than they did when they played in the League Cup last year. And I think, yes, Scottish football does need this fixture back. It does need a strong Rangers, despite what Celtic fans might think, because the massive support brings focus back onto the league again that hasn't been there at all for the past few years. And the very nature of Celtic's procession to victory over the past 4 or 5 years has meant the entire league has regressed as a result, because Celtic don't need to spend to improve because they know they will win the league anyway. And now that Rangers are back in amongst it and challenging them with a really good coach in Warburton, who obviously did great things at Brentford, I think we have got a genuine challenge next season. And you throw Aberdeen and Hearts into the mix, who have been very strong this year. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching Scottish football next season again. And it's been a long time since I said that.
Do you think Scottish football, gentlemen, has it been improved with Rangers' absence because it's allowed others perhaps to try and start to test at least Celtic, who've become maybe lackadaisical, as you said, Paul, in not investing enough in the squad to really go and improve, not pressured by Rangers being on their shoulder time and time again? Or do you think it's taken more of the Serie A approach, when obviously Juventus and Milan were way off the title race, Juve moved down to Serie B because of the match-fixing scandal, into dominating the league, and the league's never really recovered in that sense in Italy, and is now controlled pretty much by Juventus out and out through and through? Has this break from Rangers being in the Scottish Premier League been a positive overall or a negative, do you think?
I think that it's been a bit of both, because, as you mentioned, that you look at the likes of Aberdeen and Hearts, who have upped their game, and I think that has been a good thing and a positive. But I don't think Celtic have moved forward enough without having Rangers there. Yes, they're going to win the title. Yes, they have been winning the title, but I'm not sure whether having the big rival, so to speak, there has helped Celtic. I don't think that they've really kicked on. I'm not sure the Ronnie Dyler experiment has worked. Who's going to come in and replace him? Is Neil Lennon going to come back? He certainly talked about that he would be interested in it. So I think in some ways it's helped the rest of the Scottish Premiership, but I think it's been to Celtic's detriment. I think Celtic would be pleased to have Rangers back overall, because it adds that extra edge, even though sometimes in the Old Firm games, they can be a little bit unpleasant.
It's been a bit of a shock to Neil Lennon's system as well, going out from Celtic and suddenly having to compete, and he's not flourished at all with Bolton this season, a dire year in the Championship for them. Gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there today. That's all we have time for on the show. A big thanks, Jeff, for joining us here today, mate. Always a pleasure to have a chat with you about all things football.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Cheers, mate. And Paul, I'll catch up with you next week, I'm sure, mate.
No problem, mate. Thanks.
Cheers, gents. This has been the 20-Minute Hit. Remember to get to us on @20MinuteHit on Twitter. That's @20MinuteHit on Twitter and, of course, on Instagram as well. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and, of course, give us a cheeky review as well. That's all for 7 days. We'll be back very soon indeed. Enjoy the sport. Have a good one.